This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Welcoming Chris Riegel, the CEO of Scala.com, a global technology firm transforming the retail space with digital signage, to observe what the future looks like when we, how we go back to work in the office towers of the big cities. I'm looking at New York and San Francisco and London and Paris. All of that measure is something that the commercial real estate market must imagine as people return and the masks come off. However, Chris, I read in Economist magazine that the expectation in London is newer buildings. How new? We go to 22 Bishop's Gate, London. It is dog friendly. In fact, it has receptionists that give passes to pets. There are other perks mentioned in the Economist magazine, not just free food, but we're talking about exercise courts and doing your laundry. All these perks that used to be associated with high-end investment banks now coming to newer buildings to attract the offices that are learning. You don't need a full workforce all the time. Maybe you don't need a workforce at all because the remotes have worked so well. You travel widely in the United States and in Europe. My first question is, am I being misled in this office of the future? Because I'm looking at London, where the vacancy rates of central London were much lower than the vacancy rates in New York City. So it might be that I have a distorted view. Is there a contrast between London and New York that could explain why people vanish from New York in larger numbers, New York offices in larger numbers than London? Good evening to you, Chris.
Good evening, John. In the New York scenario, when you look at what's happening in New York, what's happening in San Francisco and Los Angeles, and you see many companies decamping from the blue states in the north and moving to the red states in the south. COVID has shown to many employers that being able to work remotely is possible, and that if you can work remotely, that there's great potential strategic advantage in the business to be able to move from a high-cost center of a New York to a low-cost center like a Florida, or from high-cost Silicon Valley to lower-cost Austin, Texas. So you're seeing companies that are now saying, hey, let's change our model a bit, and it's okay to move away from the traditional financial centers, tech centers, but sprout out across the country to lower tax, higher quality of life jurisdictions, and making that easier for their employees and more attractive.
And that is not the case in London. As you've pointed out to me, you pay the same tax no matter where you are in the British Isles. So what we have here is there is no incentive to move from London to Edinburgh. No incentive whatsoever. It's the same tax regimen. Might even be different because Edinburgh is under a separate parliament. However, a co-equal but separate parliament. However, we come now to the idea of newer is better. Do you see that trend as well? Newer buildings defined as built in these last 5 years, open spaces, lots of views, and for heaven's sakes, dog passes.
You've seen in especially the Silicon Valley culture in the last 20 years, from catered lunches to convenience stores to coffee shops, the kind of pampering of employees with over-the-top amenities within the business as being something that can attract that talent. You're seeing that in commercial spaces, where commercial spaces are trying to make better and better environments to attract companies. But I think there's probably a balance there in the London environment. Bringing those amenities in makes your life easier, but you still have a limited supply of inventory compared to a New York or to a San Francisco. So your rates of absorption, even if you don't have the indoor llama petting park, you're still going to get tenants there.
Florida, you bring to my attention that the Palm Beach commercial space is being snapped up by major real estate investors because people have spent many days in Florida from New York during the pandemic and have grown accustomed to, I guess they've grown accustomed to wearing Bermuda shorts. I haven't been in Palm Beach in quite some time. I'm here in Connecticut and Bermuda shorts are okay. However, not until later spring. So, moving to Palm Beach, is that now attractive to high-end, high-tower office goers in New York? Does that make sense?
I think you're seeing the demystifying of New York, and the point of New York as being the dominant financial center. It's still the financial center of the U.S., but you've seen the last 15, 20 years, the decamping of some of the big banks to Charlotte as maybe the true retail banking center in the U.S. Now you're seeing investment banks, private equity, others saying, wow, how much more of my money can I keep if I'm doing that in DeSantis's Florida versus Cuomo's New York? So the tax considerations, the quality of life, and I would generally prefer a Boca or a Palm Beach February to a New York February, that use case of saying lifestyle, life cycle, and still being able to do business, especially if people are remote, Florida is a very attractive target.
The conversion of buildings, to perks, remedies for the younger workers, millennials and younger Gen Xers. Is that a possibility for those who are holding the commercial mortgages in the large cities, New York and San Francisco? I mention this because, according to The Economist, the banks hold about $2 trillion worth of mortgages. That's not something you're going to write off. So what is a patch or a workaround for the high-end buildings who are seeing people moving to Florida and Texas?
I think you'll see in New York more and more creative uses of space, whether that be reuse of retail space that's no longer viable or reuse of office space that's no longer viable. New York is still going to have a draw for people that wish to live there based on the amenities and lifestyle of being in the Big Apple. That being said, it's ineffective to have big buildings sitting empty. So there will be new and creative uses to try to reuse that space. In many cases, maybe conversion to residential housing.
Right. Well, the London is reporting that is already happening. And so I see the view. However, this means that there are going to be buildings that are also RANs. And that's the risk you take in large cities like this. So I want to convert this conversation to a glimpse of the office for the future, to this question of remote. Chris, I keep getting different versions of this. Is it a success now? Is remote working regarded for the people you know best in the tech business as something we never would have tried, but we're happy for it? Or are there reservations?
I think it's been proven that it can work in an emergency scenario, but most large tech employers are stating the sooner that we're back, the better, because of that creative force. In a tech business especially, having people being able to sit in the same room, work through a problem is critical. And in that environment where you're working remotely, you've heard the term Zoom fatigue and online fatigue. The ability for people to get back into the office is key. And you're seeing now most large U.S. corporations saying, hey, June, July, August, it's time to come back, because they know there is some loss of esprit de corps in not being in that same physical facility.
Do you see these building matters that we discussed earlier as a reason for people to be reluctant to go back? I'm thinking of improved ventilation is said to be one of the perks that must be offered by the older buildings. Do you see hesitancy about people crowding into elevators or corridors? You know, New York, we have a premium on space, and so social distancing is impossible when you work in New York.
I guess the politically charged question is, do we trust the science or not? So if you're at vaccine levels of 70%, 80%, 90%, either it works or it doesn't. But the permanent fear state of you can't go to work, you can't be productive, has to stop, or the economy will collapse.
Yes, London is struggling just with that matter. You know this, Chris, because of your business interests there as well. There's something that used to be called the India variant. They've now given it, I believe, the term Delta variant. And I see it pop up in headlines now and again out of London. It's said to be highly transmissible. The vaccine does block it. However, what's striking about it is that it is it's transmissible to younger people, not just the seniors such as myself, but to younger people. And that is a reason to be hesitant here, that this office of the future is upon us. So how many years do you think until we go to this high-end, Florida, Texas alternative? A year, 5 years? Can you guess, Chris?
I think it's a continuous evolution. And if you see the destruction to the economic base done in especially Silicon Valley and in New York City in the last 12 months. The government officials there should be pushing hard to get people back, to keep them from departing. If they're going to be working remote, if they can't go into the office or if they don't feel safe about doing that, they're likely going to gravitate towards states with no income tax. If they're going to be working from a nicer home with a bigger yard and a nicer view and better weather. So it's incumbent upon the governments to get people back. Otherwise, they're going to lose a lot of business in that business base in the major Northeast and West Coast cities.
Chris Riegel is the CEO of Scholar.com, a global technology firm, all continents except for Antarctica, transforming the retail space with digital signage. Antarctica next. This is CBSi on the World. I'm John Batch.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.